Hey, this is Pastor Nate. I am so glad you're tuning in to today's podcast. I really believe it will be a blessing to you if you currently struggle, have ever struggled with, or know someone who struggles with depression. Please listen to the whole thing. I believe you will be blessed and that you'll be equipped to be a blessing to others. However, as a preface to this dialogue, this discussion is not meant to diagnose or offer treatment for clinical depression or to discuss the merit or usefulness of medication in treating depression. To be clear, I do believe there are certain instances where medication is appropriate to treat clinical depression. If you have questions about clinical depression and medication, please speak to your doctor. Also, if you are currently dealing with severe depression to the extent of having suicidal thoughts, please let someone know today. You can reach someone 24/7 at the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Once again, that phone number is 1-800-273-8255. Now, let's get to our discussion for the day. Good day to you. Welcome to the New Day Podcast with Pastor Nate Morris. This is your host, Pastor Nate Morris, hosting the conversation today. And this is the podcast where we talk a lot about the hot button issues. And so we've had podcasts discussing race relations and submission to government and are we in the end times and all of these different topics that are kind of hot button issues for us. We really want to not shy away from those things, but really press into them and see what the Word of God has to say. And also to really just bring that discussion. I found that sometimes just discussion around a topic can help generate understanding and even release in a sense of, oh, somebody else feels that way or somebody else thinks that. And so we're going to just keep talking about all the hard stuff. And so today, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, I think will be a blessing to many of you. And my friend Brandon B is our guest today. And so Brandon, welcome to the program. And
hello.
Brandon and I have known each other. We met probably 13 years ago, and he was a guest worship artist at our church. And then our paths had just crossed many, many times since then at random either events or you've come and led worship at our church a couple different times. It's God has just kind of kept us in each other's circles, which has been great. It's been a blessing. So Brandon is a very gifted worship leader. He's a music producer. He's also a pastor and church planter. And so Brandon, would you kind of just let us know a little bit about what God is doing in your life right now, where you guys are, where you're living, and what he's got you doing out there?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Seattle and I moved away for about 8 years, and I moved away and did a lot of different things. I not only helped plant a church in Ogden, Utah, but I also started record labels in three different places. One, I started one in Seattle before I moved. Another one, I started one in Portland area through a church called Crossroads Community Church, which actually the label was called The Responding, and they're still going. And then I started another one in Milan, Italy, and we even moved to Milan for a portion of the time that I was doing that, and ended up landing in Tri-Cities, Washington, which is like the eastern part of the state. And basically, really long story, super long story short, I happened to just be really, really beat up from moving around a lot. And my family was beat up, and definitely wasn't because God beat me up. Of course, I don't believe that, but my selfish ambitions definitely were a bit of it, probably. But also, I believe my wife still believes this too, that we moved everywhere God wanted us to move. So we were listening to the Lord, but maybe my expectations were different in all those spots. Anyway, we ended up landing at this church, and it was just a really healthy couple years for us. and just a reminder of the reason why we do what we do. And we got to have church modeled to us. That was really a blessing. And I'm just so thankful for my time at Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities. So basically what happened was, is that, you know, I always knew we were supposed to move home and plant a church. And we call it Arrow and Heart. And the reason why it is a untraditional church name is because in every way we wanted it to be untraditional. And we started out by meeting Tuesday nights. And what's interesting is that, you know, not only did we want it to be untraditional, of course, COVID had to happen. And now everything is untraditional. Right. There's nothing traditional about church at all right now.
No, there's not.
And so in a weird way, we were kind of set up to be, at least our mentality was set up to be totally fine in this moment. And so one of the things as we transition into talking about the topic at hand, one of the things that I have seen is pastors even get hit with depression, mm-hmm. hit with sadness, hit with purpose, like lack of purpose. You know, pastors were not meant to just be on a screen.
Right.
They weren't meant for that. A pastor, if we were to look at the very sense of the word of the pastor is shepherd. Shepherd was a very hands-on, get your hands dirty, clean up the poop of sheep, you know, all of these things, you know. And so I think that the reality is that depression is not just hitting people who are lacking income. I'm saying that because I don't even feel like the depression is really connected to finances. That's what most people are going to blame it on.
Yeah.
They're going to focus it on the fact that we don't all have jobs anymore, or we don't. I mean, I live in Seattle area. Like I said, most people are tech jobs anyway.
Right.
I don't know that many people that really lost their jobs. And yet depression is still a real thing. And so as we jump into it, and I'll let you kind of talk a little bit about it, but I wanted to emphasize very specifically, I think we can't blame it on one thing other than we can blame it on the enemy and the darkness wanting to take over, right?
I
do not believe it's one thing. There's so many things that are bringing this depression thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think right now, I mean, I think that's a great point. There are so many factors, and I think extended period of isolation has a lot to do with it, as people were designed to be together, even introverted people. I mean, I'm an introverted person myself, and I would say that even introverted people, we're designed to be together, and so something like an extended isolation, like in lockdown, is it's not healthy for your mind, right? And there are so many different contributing factors. And there are, you know, factors that are outside of circumstances as well for reasons people go through that. Now, I think specifically this year, many more people are experiencing depression than maybe normal. You know, I personally have in the past struggled with depression seasonally in different times. And I know you have as well. We've talked about that before. Yeah. And one of the things that I wanted to do just talking about this subject is one, to destigmatize it, because I think sometimes, the thought of being, I'm just feeling depressed or I'm down, it can seem like, I'm doing something wrong. And a lot of times those feelings don't come from wrong action. It's what we do with them, I think, that is the important thing to consider. And I think that it's important for us to recognize that it's not wrong to feel sad, you know? In fact, I was thinking even earlier about, you know, in thinking about Jesus, right? So Jesus is humankind perfected. And when he lived, I mean, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him, right? We didn't esteem him. In fact, in verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So I think of this, you know, often we can think of Jesus as happy and smiling, and of course he was, but he experienced the entire range of human emotion. Otherwise, he couldn't be our high priest. And so I don't know that I would necessarily sit down and say, well, Jesus went through seasons of depression. I don't know that I could say that definitively, but he at least experienced the feelings of that we go through in those times, and in a real sense has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows for us, right? And so I think when you look through the scriptures, you see time and again many different people that are struggling in seasons like that. I think of King David, right? The king who was also a songwriter and a musician, whose music was used to soothe King Saul, right? When Saul was having mental issues, you know, and struggling.
Yeah.
But David himself, you know, at times wrote like Psalms that said, night after night, I flood my couch with tears, you know, where are you, God? And things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes we can feel like wrong to feel that. We can feel like we did something wrong because of this, or we must not have followed God in some way. And do you have any thoughts on that, or any kind of insight on that whole kind of subject?
Yeah. I mean, I really, really like what you were saying about try to destigmatize it. You're pointing out something really great, is that it doesn't have to be something that you've done. You don't have to feel bad. Like, sometimes depression really is feeling bad about something you've done. That's a
right.
consequence.
Yeah.
And people can go into depression after they've done something bad. And I
right.
think that pointing that out is like, okay, well, then let's not do that one thing that's bad. And
yeah.
maybe you won't get depressed. Like, for a lot of men, it's going to be pornography or things like
right.
that. Well, yeah, absolutely. After you look at pornography, you're going to feel depressed afterwards, because
right.
you know you did something that was not only a sin against God, but it was a sin against your wife, and it was if you're married, and it was a sin against your own flesh, right?
Yeah, right.
Of course you're going to feel depressed off of that, but so that's consequences. But what I'm talking about in James specifically is, I don't believe that in this specific, I'm going to find it really fast because I want to actually say it right. So give me 1 second. But I don't believe that he's talking about a consequence version. I think he's talking about something that is different than that. Let's see here. ESV version. Come on. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And so, yeah, to meet. So the idea there is that he's meeting it. It's you're welcoming it in a weird way, right?
Yeah.
So dealing with consequences and depression that comes from consequences is one kind of depression, but then you're going to have depression where you're meeting trials. And these are things that you didn't do. These are things that are going to happen to you that you don't really have a choice of it happening. And
right.
so I think how to destigmatize it is to point out the different kinds of depression that you can get.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the one that comes from consequences of things you've done. You should look at what it is that you're actually dealing with to make sure that you're not just dealing with something that can be looked at through the scriptures and actually be fixed by just changing your life, right? So that's,
yeah,
to me, consequences. That's, consequences are going to bring depression, but then trials that come to you, you can make it all about yourself. So this is going to be the second thing, is that if it isn't something you did wrong, I believe the second one is when you meet trials, when you meet those trials the way that God tells you to, the way that James teaches you to, it says, count it all joy. Well, there isn't depression in joy. There's no joy in depression. I don't believe
right.
that those can meet. So I feel like that's a second kind of depression, that, and that's a way that you can defeat that, is by realizing that you're taking it as joy.
Yeah, I think I remember there was a season in my life where I was facing, I would say, a situational depression. So that's a depression that's caused by a circumstance of a little bit of a crisis of faith in my own heart about some things. And there wasn't any sin or anything like that. It was more my relationship with God and things that I was experiencing and seeing, and had this kind of just like crisis of faith, and it was kind of overwhelming. And I actually remember the first time that I ever actually truly thanked God for the trial, right? And that was in this season. And that was, I was totally depressed, and I was totally like full of anxiety and stress and all of these things. And I remember sitting there, and I actually just in the moment, I like chose to thank God for the trial. And the reality was that after I made that choice, gratitude actually came up in my heart about what God was doing through that, right? And yeah. And I think that's a good thing to point out. Since you bring that up, it's that, you know, obviously there's depression that happens. There's struggle that happens because of our own choices. And the great thing is that God still delivers us from those, which is amazing. I mean, it's obviously there's consequences that we deal with in life, but but God's grace covers even those things. But then on the flip side, there is that it's either situational or it's just the fact that you're struggling. I mean, it could be chemical, it could be something else, I don't know, but there's times when you just go through stuff where you're like, I just don't feel good. And there's even if you don't have a reason, but maybe there is a reason, it's like it could be finances, it could be isolation, it could be whatever. And I think that the key is not like necessarily looking to, I just wish I wasn't depressed. It's really that because then you're just thinking about your depression, right? You're thinking about your struggle. And I've always said, you know, you can't see Jesus if you're staring at the struggle.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying right there, because, you know, another thing I thought too is like, I do believe very much that there is a heaviness that happens that you don't understand why.
Yeah.
You didn't do something to deserve that consequence.
Right.
And it isn't even specifically because of a trial, but it literally, you wake up one day and you just feel a heaviness. And whether that's chemical or whether that's spiritual darkness, I mean, that's something you just have to kind of keep in mind, that, you know, the devil kind of wants you to feel junky all the time.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how equipped you are to defeat or to beat that. Sometimes you just fall into something that you can't, you have a hard time getting out of. But what you're saying, which I really like about that, is that you are, what you choose to do with it. And I believe this as a mature Christian, you know, whatever, but like being somebody who deals with depression, even right now I do, you know, and, you know, being, you know, somebody who I'd consider a mature Christian, it's what you do once you feel that heaviness is the thing that's going to, and that's what you're talking about, is you cannot be selfish in it. You can't think internally, because that's what depression wants. That's what the enemy wants. If he wants you to go, oh yeah, I feel so horrible. And I don't, but it's like, then at that point, it's recognition that, okay, this is something that this is beyond my control. And God, I don't want to look at myself.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Exactly. I think that sometimes we can just feel sorry for ourselves, just plain and simple, right? But I think that the challenge is that Jesus said in this world, you'll have many trials and tribulations. You're going to have many struggles in this life. That was a promise from Christ, right? So if we're looking for Jesus and saying, hey, please keep me from all the trials and struggles, well, that's a prayer that he's already answered before we even prayed it. Totally. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that, because that's why it says in James, what you just read, count it all joy when you meet those trials, because the testing of your faith produces patience and perseverance, right? Yeah. All those things. So
it's actually better for you that you go through those trials.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so I think that the key for me has become, right? Because like I said, I struggled early on a lot with depression, a lot with the symptoms of depression that played itself out in my life. And I still struggle with depression at times. And that's part of why I want to destigmatize it, because some people might look at you or me and say, oh, well, they're pastors, they're musicians, they're this, they're that, they're not struggling like this. And the reality is, we all go through seasons of depression because we did something wrong. We all go through seasons of depression because of a situation, or we go through like what you talked about, that third type of depression that we just can't even pinpoint. I know I do. And so for me, what it's become is when I experience that, I have to remember where my help comes from. That's really what the bottom line is. And I have to remember Psalm 23. It's, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's not saying that the Lord delivers him out of the valley of shadow of death. It says, while I'm walking through it, I'm not going to fear because you're with me, right?
Amen.
And that's, for me, that's been the thing. It's clinging to that. And even Isaiah 53 that I shared earlier, where it says that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, right? In verse 4, it says that he has borne our sorrows and carried our grief. And so we can come to him and say, Lord, I'm not doing well. I need your help. And it's not that he's going to just miraculously deliver you from the feeling of depression. I mean, he might, and I've had that happen before, but usually that's not the case. Usually it's, I don't know what's going on. I can't explain it. I'm not okay, but I know who is. And so I'm going to cling to you. And then he pulls you through that season. And on the other side, you can see his goodness. But in the middle of it, it's truly a walk of faith of saying, even though I feel this way, even though I can't see the end, I'm going to cling to you, God, and walk with you in this. That's what we need to give over to the Lord and ask him to shepherd us through those things so that we don't make the wrong choices and we don't stay in that place. And then he brings us to that place of green pasture, right? I mean, we're just playing off Psalm 23 still, but he talks about, you know, that he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters and refreshes my soul, right?
Amen.
That comes from him. And a lot of times that's after the dark valley, right? That's after the valley of the shadow. And he comes in and fills us up and brings us that grace and that peace and that love. And I think that there's another aspect of this too, that I think part of the reason I bring up destigmatizing depression before is that there's an aspect of this that I think a lot of believers suffer in and struggle in alone, when the reality is we're created as communal creatures. We're created to have community in the church and the body of Christ. And when we're struggling, we need to be having brothers and sisters to hold us up and to walk through that season of struggle with us. And it's a hard thing to do when you're talking about like, oh, I'm just feeling depressed, or I'm feeling down, or I'm struggling with this sin, or whatever it might be. It's hard and humbling to go to somebody and to say that. But I think that when you do, you find such healing in that, as we are really the body of Christ together, right? So the body of Christ being Jesus, right? Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows to the cross, of course, but also we're to bear each other's burdens, as it says in scripture. And when my brother or sister comes to me and says, I'm struggling, I'm depressed, then it's like, okay, let's come together before the Lord. And I can help point them to those things. That's like, I know what your feelings are telling you to do is to go drink or to go cut yourself or to go do this. But that's a coping mechanism. That's not a healing mechanism. The healing comes in Jesus Christ, right? By his stripes, we are healed. And so we can help point each other towards Jesus. What do you think about that? That healing that comes in the body of Christ through those things.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, as you were talking, I was thinking of even one of a spiritual gift, you know, that the Holy Spirit brings to us that, you know, it doesn't get as much popularity, but it's going to be the words of encouragement. Word of encouragement. The reason why that spiritual gift exists is not to, you know, grow somebody's head. You know, it's to lift up spirits. It's lift up the heart of a person who feels lowly. Anybody that like is dealing with stuff, they need connection. No matter what the situation is. And I think that we need to just look at that and go, okay, God, how can we invite people into our lives?
And I think that's probably especially true in this season when we've been told to isolate and separate and not come together, that people are cut off from community and they are isolated and they're separated. And when that depression sets in, the reality is we start to feel more like being alone than being with others. And And the reality is we need to be in that community. We need to be around other people. We need to be going to church. We need to be connecting in our small group. We need to be, hanging out and doing those things that are important for building that relationship in that community. So, well,
yeah.
I think it's such a, you know, there's so many angles to the topic. But I think some of the things that we talked about today were really good. I think that just recognizing what type of depression you're struggling with, right? The three that you pointed out, I think is great. There's the, I did something wrong. There's the, the situational depression based on circumstances. And then there's the just heaviness that you can feel at times, but then also recognizing how you're going to respond to that. And those responses should not be our earthly coping mechanisms that might be eating or drinking or, you know, bad behaviors, whatever it might be, but really turning to our good shepherd who leads us through the valley of shadow of death and is with us. And then also turning to other believers in Jesus Christ, to the church, and having that community that supports us in it. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Well, that's been a great conversation. Thank you for your time today. And, guys, Brandon is an amazing musician. He's not really promoting a ton of his own music right now, but his music is great, and you should check it out and listen to it. It's Brandon B. You can find him on iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. Brandon B, B-E-E. Thank you, all of you, for tuning in and listening in. And tune in next week. We'll have another guest on talking about another hot button topic. But praying for you and praying that you cling to the Lord and grab hold of the things of Him in this season. And we will see you later. God bless.